Foss, Mary, Los Angeles, California, September 12, 1902. My dear sister Mary, last Wednesday I left St. Helena for Los Angeles, accompanied by my son Willie, Clarence Chrysler, Sarah McEnterfer, and Maggie Hare, to attend the Southern California camp meeting. We spent Wednesday, September 10th, in Oakland, and at 7 o'clock in the evening took the cars again. At 8 o'clock, September 11th, the next morning, we reached Santa Barbara, where we spent the greater part of the day looking over the city to see if it would be a suitable place in which to establish a sanitarium and start a hygienic restaurant. We are starting these restaurants in many cities, that we may teach the people the value of a health reform diet. No meat, tea, or coffee are served in our restaurants. The fare is wholesome and nourishing and is made up of grains, vegetables, nuts, and fruits. We endeavor to demonstrate to those who come the advantage of a diet of this kind over a flesh diet. These restaurants have met with great favor from the people of the cities in which they are established. In our restaurant in Los Angeles, 800 meals are served daily. We left Santa Barbara at 3:30 in the afternoon and reached Los Angeles at 8 that evening. We were driven at once to the house which we were to occupy during the meeting. This is a furnished cottage belonging to one of our brethren here, who moved to the campground that I might be accommodated in his house during the meeting. Friday morning, a two-seated buggy drove to the door to take us to San Fernando, a town 21 miles from Los Angeles, to see a property that about a year ago we advised the brethren to purchase for school purposes. Circumstances were so arranged, in the providence of God, that this property, consisting of buildings that cost $40,000 and 10 acres of land, was offered to our people for $10,000. The location is all that could be desired. The brethren wrote to me about the offer that had been made, and I told them to arrange at once for the purchase of the place. They did so, and have since been preparing the building for schoolwork. The school will open October 1, 1902. On the trip to San Fernando, we saw much that was interesting. We drove through acres and acres of highly cultivated land, orange groves and orchards of various kinds of fruit. When we reached the place that our brethren have purchased, we were more than pleased with its appearance and location. Expensive buildings were erected there some years ago, the owners expecting that Fernando was about to become a center for tourists. But something swayed the tourists in another direction, and so it came about that these buildings, all ready for use, were offered to us almost as a gift. Thousands upon thousands of people flocked to Southern California from all parts of the states to spend the winter here. We are very desirous of getting our work in this part of the state well established, that the message of present truth may be given to these people. I have an intense interest in this work. I greatly desire that the tourists coming to Los Angeles, Pasadena, San Diego, and to many other parts of Southern California shall hear the message of warning to prepare for the great day of the Lord, which is right upon us. He that is to come will come, and will not tarry. Hebrews 10, verse 37. We are looking for places on which to establish industrial schools. In charge of these schools, we shall place carefully chosen teachers who will teach the children and youth to use their capabilities in a way that will make them of use in the Lord's work. I am urging our people to establish our schools away from the congested cities and to place in these schools faithful, consecrated teachers who will make the Word of God the beginning and end of all the education given. It is our purpose to prepare young men and young women to act as God's helping hand, receiving light from the source of light and imparting it to those who sit in darkness. It is time that the world was warned that the day of the Lord will surely come as a thief in the night. Men are ambitious for power. The world is stirred with strife. Everywhere there is discontentment. At this time, in a world filled with confusion and bloodshed, the message is to be proclaimed that soon, in power and great glory, the Prince of Peace is to come. The commission that Christ gave to his disciples is given also to us. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me, he said. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Diligently and faithfully we are to work for the Master. In this warfare there is no release. I am laboring diligently to write out the instruction that the Lord has given me. I write many hours each day. Often I begin writing at 1 o'clock in the morning. I keep my helpers, five in number, all busy. My memory is good, my mind is clear, and my voice has returned to me. For this I praise the Lord. After my last severe illness, my voice left me, and I feared that it would never return. The two last Sabbaths before leaving for Los Angeles, I spoke at the St. Helena Sanitarium to a room full of most interested listeners. Every time I speak at this place, I feel the deep moving of the Spirit of God. There are new hearers present every time, for fresh patients are always coming to the institution. Among my hearers, there are most intelligent men, physicians, lawyers, judges, and they are interested in the words that the Lord gives me to speak. I have a deep interest in every soul, high and low, rich and poor. I feel to the very depths of my being the value of the human soul. It seems to me so terrible that one of those for whom Christ has given his life should perish. My heart yearns over sinners. I long to set in operation some means of saving them. All that I have and am, I have given to my Savior, for I am his, bought with a price. I would be his instrument to open ways whereby many shall hear the truth. The salvation of human beings has cost too much to be passed over lightly and indifferently. I cannot do this. I offer myself to the Savior a willing sacrifice, to be used for the saving of souls. I am so thankful for the work that Christ's object lessons has accomplished and is still accomplishing. When this book was in preparation, I expected to use the means coming from the sale of this book in preparing and publishing several other books. But the Lord put it into my mind to give this book to our schools, to be used in freeing them from debt. I asked our publishing houses to unite with me in this gift of donating the expense of the publication. This they willingly agreed to do. A fund was raised to pay for the materials used in printing the book, and canvassers and people have sold the book without commission. Thus, the book has been circulated in all parts of the world. It has been received with great favor everywhere. Ministers of all denominations have written testimonials recommending it. The Lord has prepared the way for its reception, so that no fewer than 200,000 have already been sold. The means thus raised have gone far toward freeing our schools from the debts that have been accumulating for many years. Our publishing houses have printed 300,000 copies, free of cost, and these have been distributed to the different tract societies to be sold by our people. The Lord has made the sale of this book a means of teaching our people how to come in touch with those not of their faith and how to impart to them a knowledge of the truth for this time. Many have been converted by reading this book. I desire, while my life shall last, to do all in my power for the Master. I have a faithful band of workers. They are devoted to my work and my interests, and I appreciate their help. I do not know how long my life may be spared. I am grateful to my Heavenly Father for the strength and the blessings He gives me. I am so thankful that I can have a part in His work. Let us, my dear sister, hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end. Then, if we are not permitted to meet each other again in this life, we shall meet in the family of God, when the redeemed are gathered home. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22, verse 14. May the Lord bless you and the members of your family. That they may be among the blessed in the kingdom of God is the highest good I can wish them. Heaven is worth everything to them. God forbid that they should give their attention to earthly and temporal things, and God have no place in their hearts. Heaven is worth lifelong, untiring effort. But I must now close this letter. Be of good courage, my dear sister. Trust in the Lord. He is your helper. Your sister.